Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us, and we want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here to be with you each and every Thursday night live on the air with Dr. Pat Allen. So with that said, I want to say, Dr. Allen, you're live on the air. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying my life, my work, my life.
Awesome. Hey, we've already got a caller on the air. We're ready to go to work.
Good.
Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, guys. How are you?
Awesome.
Hi.
Great. So, Dr. Pat. Okay. So, basically, I have the guy that I told you was separated, but is basically, is separated. He's actually coming out here next week for like a conference. And he told me he was coming, and I became kind of irate this weekend because he told me now that his wife that he's separated from now lives in my city. And I said to him basically that he was coming out here for this conference only because she lives out here. And he was like, no, this has nothing to do with her. It's something he wanted to do all along. So basically my question to you is, should I just wait to see how things go next week, or should I actually ask him, like, are we going? Well, I know we're going to hang out, but he hasn't told me exactly what day, even though we talk every day. It's like he seems like he doesn't want to bring up next week again because of my reaction this past weekend.
What do you think I think of women interviewing men? What do you think I think of it?
It's not good unless you want to be the man, and I don't want to be the man.
Well, if you don't want to be a man, you'll watch how he behaves and then decide what you're going to do with him.
Okay, so basically say nothing about next week at all. Just
say nothing. Just watch how he behaves.
Okay. And then my other question is, he mentioned possibly wanting to stay at my house one night after the conference is over. Should I allow that?
I have no problem with that. Slumber parties are fun. Nobody said you had to have intercourse with him.
No, I haven't. So it's okay that if he sleeps in the same bed, or should I say, do you want to sleep on the arrow bed or the couch? Or should I say nothing? I don't know.
Why don't you say nothing and not have intercourse?
Okay, and just let him lead if he comes into the bedroom or into the living room.
Let
or whatever.
Let him lead and be ready to say yes or no. Don't drink mind-altering chemicals. You might say yes when you mean no.
Right. Okay, so I will just, I guess, play it by ear for next week. It's just difficult for me because I'm such a planner to plan my week ahead.
No. Change the word planner to masculine.
Okay.
And so controlling.
See, you have no problem with me and I with you if you want to be the man.
Right, and I don't want to be the man, even
well,
though it seems
I
like it's
Well, then I suggest you experience reality and then decide if you want to duplicate it.
Got it. Okay, so I will do nothing and wait to see when he requests to take me out on a date or to see me next week.
Whatever.
If I'm busy, then I just can't do it that day.
And stay in touch with your feelings. Remember, we get what we want by knowing what we don't want because it doesn't feel good.
Right. Okay, I'm just going to have to force myself to stay in my feminine because I'm trying, and we'll see what he does.
Well,
I don't know what you
say, but acting feminine means you're receptive, available to receive, and respectful of him. Unless he does something that is not feeling good to you, then you can say, you have every right to say it, do it, whatever. but I'm not comfortable with this. So are you willing to not do that?
Right. I see what you're saying. Okay. Because I just wanted to kind of get a better idea of what we were doing next week.
No, darling. You wanted to get a better muscle hold. Ideas are brains. Women do better with their feelings than they do with their brains. I want you to use your brains at work. I want you to use them in politics. But could you possibly keep your heart available when you're experiencing relationships, especially where you're wanting to be cherished for your feelings, not respected for your maleness?
That's true. I just felt like because of the way I reacted this weekend, that it kind of put a monkey wrench in things, and like he didn't want to bring up like plans again because of my reaction, versus had I not reacted that way, I feel like he would have probably said, okay, Tuesday,
I've got news for you. So,
you know,
so stay in your doghouse and get a rest, you know, please undo the damage.
Okay.
Remember, passive, patient, and vulnerable. Passive, patient, and vulnerable.
You're right. And I was none of those this weekend when I accused a man of something and only to find out he was actually telling the truth after I, yeah. So, okay. So I will just follow this and see what, how it plays out. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
We women do much better when we gather evidence than when we forecast fears.
And also, too, you can't make assumptions. It just always turns out bad.
Hello?
Hi, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you for making it.
Yes, so a man has been dating me for about, it's been a little over 3 months now, and
the perfect period.
Yeah, and it hasn't been so perfect, and so I'm feeling like really confused, and I don't understand what's happening, and when I use the tools, it seems to make him very angry, and
That's something. So
yeah,
maybe he's got a problem with relationships.
And he's saying, I do.
That's competitive. Are you wanting respect first, cherish second, or cherish first, respect second?
Cherish first, respect second.
What does he want?
That's a good question. I asked him if he wanted... It would appear he wants both, because he always tells me what he thinks and what he feels. And I asked him if he wanted a more...
If he's a narcissist, you have nowhere to stand.
Okay.
And that's the problem with narcissism. They want respect and they want to be cherished equally, which means you have to follow them every minute of every day. Or they say it's you that's disrespectful and you are uncherishing, when the truth is they want both, so you have nowhere to stand.
Okay, so like when I said to him, I made an appointment, my friend wanted to take me out to dinner for my birthday. And so I said, honey, I want to talk to you about my friend wanting to take me out to dinner for my birthday. Is it convenient? Yes, it's convenient. I say, she's saying Thursday this week. I wanted to see if you had plans for us. And he blew up saying, I'm not, like, he's not the priority. And if I even consider going to dinner with my friend for my birthday, he's out. So then I feel confused, right?
What is confusing? You already know he's a narcissist.
I guess it's confusing as to, like, even if he is a narcissist, would the tools not work then?
They can't work, because no matter what you say or you do, you're stepping on his rule, which is I want respect and cherishing equally, which means you have to wait for me to flag you as to what you can do or not do.
I see.
He's a 10 and you're a 0.
Ah, okay.
The only people that like narcissistic relationships are codependents.
Okay, I kind of sensed he wanted codependency.
I understand that. That's where you love him more than you love yourself.
But that's, yeah, and I don't want that. I asked him if we could take some, anyways, I asked if we could take some time because I'm not comfortable with the blowout. And obviously that didn't go over well either. But yeah, I've been feeling confused and beginning to question myself.
Exactly. What makes him 51% valuable to you? That's what I want to know. What does he do? Is he a great lay? What is he?
We have a lot of the same activities in common, which are nice.
Lot of compatibility in activities.
Yes.
So you might
do.
Be friends. Mm-hmm. You might be friends.
Okay.
But once you bring in love, sex, then we get into competition.
Yeah, it does feel like competition to me, and it doesn't feel good. And he's saying
the same thing. So what are you going to do about it?
I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't. I guess I don't know what to do.
You want to terminate him? Are you in a committed sexual relationship with him?
Yeah. Yes.
Are you willing to terminate the sexuality and ask for the friendship?
Yeah.
Or are
yes,
you codependent on him sexually?
No, I'm not. I feel confident in saying I'm not.
So
he gets
are you willing,
serious with me because I'm
willing
independent.
To make an appointment and say to him, you have every right for wanting me to respect you and cherish you equally. But I don't feel comfortable with that because I want to be cherished first and respected second. And I would be more comfortable if you wanted to be first in respect and cherished second so we could waltz together instead of slam dance.
I love that. Okay. Yes, I'm willing to do that. Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
And your other option is when he says what he feels, you say, what can I do to help us feel better? And when he says what he thinks, you say, what can I do to help us do better? That way you respond to his narcissistic codependency in a submissive way. He will like it. I don't know what you'll feel.
Oh, it won't feel good at all. But I understand now because I've been feeling very confused. Okay. Yeah, I don't want that. Thank you so much. That helps clear
You're
up
welcome.
A lot.
Okay.
Thank you, caller.
Bye-bye, you guys. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Wow.
It's so nice when people get it.
Oh, yeah, it is. And that's it's rugged with the narcissist, you know? It's a no-win situation. It really is. I think we might have a caller line. Caller, are you there with us live?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Do you have a question?
Yeah. So I just finished reading Sandra Brown's Women Who Love Psychopaths.
That's a great book.
Yeah, and I noticed that the book says that psychopaths have a larger corpus callosum than average people. And it rang a bell for me because you say that women and left-handed men have a larger corpus callosum. So I think it does. So are we to assume that they mix their thoughts and feelings?
I want you to know that physical characteristic allows people to be narcissistic because they are in touch with their thinking and wanting and their feelings and their not wants. So yes, Einstein, Picasso, Da Vinci, Michelangelo, Paul McCartney, Frank Sinatra, Thomas Jefferson, 4 out of 5 of the last presidents and vice presidents have been left-handed ambidextrous or biologically gay, in which their brains are more female style, which is equal. We have a larger bridge. We're built to be, as men say it, narcissistic. We want to feel good and do good. And sometimes right-handed men have difficulty with that because it seems wrong. But for the right woman and the right man, that large corpus callosum does attract a capability of thinking and feeling, which is hugely creative, but can be difficult for people, especially right-handed men with small corpus callosum, they can't deal with.
So is narcissistic and alpha the same?
Narcissistic and what?
Alpha. Alpha.
No way, no way, no way.
Okay.
No. Alphas are right or left-handed. An alpha is a person who's temperamentally, I'd recommend that they read or take the test, the Myers-Briggs, and read the book, Please Understand Me by Marilyn Bates and David Kiersey. Because when we're conceived, we have a temperament, which is a combination of thinking, intuition, feeling, senses, you see, introverted, extroverted, and that allows us to be with somebody that fits us. That compatibility is hideously important. So alphas are people who are equally male and equally female. But that doesn't mean they're narcissistic, which is a way of negotiating or intimidating or seducing.
Okay, I guess that does it for me for this week. I'll leave the floor to people who have questions to ask about relationships. Thank you.
Thank you so much, caller. Interesting. That is a good book, that Sandra Brown book.
Yes, very good.
What was the other book you mentioned?
The Psychopath Next Door.
Mm-hmm.
That one.
And then you were saying Myers-Briggs, the Kiersey Sorter?
Oh, that's a Please Understand Me. That's about temperament.
Oh. Oh, very interesting. Oh, speaking
that's
very,
of... Very, very. Myers and of... Briggs were a mother and daughter who basically took the work of Carl Jung and Eric Byrne and turned it into a test called the Myers-Briggs test.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see?
Yeah.
Which is a great temperament test to find out how your personality is put together. And your personality is subject to change. That's the book by Norman Doidge, The Brain That Changes Itself. We didn't know before 20 years ago that we could reprogram our brain, not our mind, our brain, like a computer, like a disk.
Was that after Broca's accident? Did they discover that?
No, Broca's issue was in the 1800s.
Right.
And if you look at the last month, special edition of National Geographic's brain book, he literally sent a brain from one of these people that couldn't speak, couldn't use language, and he gave it to some class. I don't have the book in the magazine. It's about the brain, but it's about he wanted this brain to be autopsied in future generations. And that's what Norman Doidge has started, and we're really using things like the Myers-Briggs, you see, to see what people's minds are doing and what their brains are doing neurobiologically.
I love that. That's amazing. And hey, you know what? I wanted to talk to you about something. I know you've been doing some speaking engagements and doing some small groups.
Yeah.
Very reasonably priced, I might add, for people that are friends or family or what have you. And I'm wondering, do you do like any of your specific things, like your...
I do my classes.
Right.
And my classes are self-esteem, scripting. You see, I have various classes, which basically people can hire me. I'm on call.
So that's amazing. Like you do the scripting class?
I will. What?
You'll do like the scripting class for a small group?
Yes. If you want me, I'll talk. I'm getting to the place where I'd rather, I do big groups, you know, that's, I'll do a group if you want me to, of whatever size.
All right. Well, I want to let everyone know that you're going to go to info@drpatallen.com, send an email to info, and you can get more information or find email address for Sue Wagner at info@drpatallen.com. Of course, www.drpatallen.com. And do we have any classes upcoming, Dr. Allen?
Yes, this weekend on Saturday, I do a 6-people class on what they want. I have the Want Institute.
Yes.
And I help people decide and design their life for at least this year, up to 5 years, 1 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I do self-esteem, I do scripting, I do getting to I do classes for women, I do addiction classes. I'm a certified addict specialist in sexuality and in alcohol or drugs. So I have a number. If you go to my website, you can see what I will speak on if you want me to.
Oh, that's awesome. www.drpatallen.com. I also want to mention Dr. Allen does telephone appointments for as little as 15 minutes and well as up to as much time as you possibly need for phone appointments. And we love that. And we have a lot of questions. People are always emailing me saying, just talk to Allen, do phone appointments because I can't get there. And we most certainly do. As a matter of fact, Dr. Allen is semi-retiring. And so the phone is going to be her major tool.
Instead of being in an office, I would rather, like I am now, I'm in my home. I'm doing this show. I do sessions. I go places where people want me to give lectures on my subject. And it's all on the website. I'm not retiring out of the business. I'm retiring out of mortar buildings other than my home.
Okay, so we have got some of our fans, and they are reaching out from Facebook right now, and they're sending you messages. And one lady is saying, Dr. Allen, oh my goodness, I know a friend has feelings for me, but he's shy, and I don't know what to do to give him the signals.
Well, what she's saying is she's attracted to a man that wants to be cherished and she wants to be cherished, but somebody's got to make some kind of a move on somebody. We're all both male and female. Men have male bodies, but they have female souls, the anima. We women have female bodies, but we have male souls, the anima. Carl Jung's wife wrote the book, Anima, Anima. There are four people in every relationship, two men and two women. And gay men, one of them has to be cherishable and one of them has to be respectable. Women have to do the same thing. I Ching, which is Chinese quantum physics, is about the energy. Yin and Yang is about matter in the energized system. So I'm doing more of Yin and Yang and I Ching as a way to help people understand that energy is the name of the game.
Indeed. All right, we have a caller on, and caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Pat. Can you give, I'm a person who tolerates, that's like kind of my familiar zone, and I'm trying to understand when I'm in toleration and what are the best way to negotiate internally with myself. It's like, what's the best way to negotiate out of toleration?
Toleration is when you accept and reject in the same system. See, I believe in accepting or rejecting, but not tolerating things.
Right. And it, some, yeah, and it just, there's a loop that takes over and is, I'm trying to like, how to, you know, do an intervention.
You're with somebody. Are you in a relationship?
No, it's mainly around doing what's good for me. Like keeping agreements with myself.
Are you a stoic?
I'm sorry, what was the first option?
Do you want to be gratified or do you want to be satisfied in life? People that want to be gratified, they want their bodies to be gratified with money, power, sex, eating, drinking, you know. But people that want to be satisfied with life do what's right spiritually so that they know that they're doing right naturally. And the people that are hedonistic are always looking for more, better, and different. So they're never satisfied. Tabby Taylor, who's a transactional analyst like I am, he really coined some phrases when he talked about what happens when you're scripted to be a hedonist. You know what that is? That's when your church or your family or your cultural group tells you, you should do it our way, not your way. You should want more, better, and different, like we do. You should hurry up. You should please us, not yourself. And you should be strong so you don't need people to do it your way. Instead, Stoics, and there's a great book, and it's called The Spiritual Teachings of Marcus Aurelius. He was an emperor and a warrior, and he basically kept a diary of his spiritual thoughts, and it was turned into a book, and the copy that I like was edited by Forstater. And here are the directions that Tabby Taylor, who does Taylor Communication in Little Rock, Arkansas, be excellent, no matter if you're retarded, crippled, healthy, or not. Be as good as you can be with what you've got. Work easy. Work easy. Don't hurry up. Know what's enough. I've got enough money. I've got enough fun. I've got enough sex. And please yourself first. And be open to learning. So that book is almost a poetic book, haiku almost, very simplistic poetry. And it's about doing what you know is right for you, not necessarily gratifying. When you go for things that gratify, it often sets up too much addiction capabilities. And then you really can ruin your life. You see? So when you deal with addiction, I would rather you said, I accept or I reject, but I don't tolerate.
Yeah, I think the way you just described it, I think I get caught in the middle of staying away from personal hedonistic behavior, but still doing the external, still living off of an external, you know, I should do this, I should do that. And no, I end up not pleasing anybody, not pleasing myself or the other. Yeah.
No. Stoic people say, I want to live a satisfying life. Therefore, I want to have serenity. I want to have peace of mind. And in order to do that, I've got to accept or reject everything, every offer, every opportunity, every relationship. You've got to investigate it for its value to you. When you want to be gratified, there is no end to your need to be gratified. So you have multiple relationships, eat too much, you know, work too much. You are basically just spending your time gratifying your body in order to feel good. So do you want to feel good to do good? That can be hedonistic. Or do you want to do good to feel good? That's the choice. But toleration is half anger and half wanting. It fights within itself.
Right. So let me ask him. So if one of my addictions is doing good to feel good,
okay.
And what I'm trying to explore, like, what is a stoic feel-good life experience?
A stoic feel-good life is one in which every night you can look at your day and you will see, what have I done today that has helped me be a good human being? See, would you agree that we're living in a world that's hideously hedonistic today. Hideously.
Yes.
You see? And you realize that most all of the wars are based on God and religion. That's strange. You see?
Mm-hmm.
If you read an easy-to-read book, Marcus Aurelius's The Spiritual Teachings of by Forstater, you will see that at the end of the day, if you can look at how much good did I do today, Was it fun to do good? People think that Stoics don't have a good meal, or they don't have a good relationship, or they don't enjoy sex, or they don't, and that's not true. What they do is they negotiate deals that don't binge, which is, I want as much as I can get. If I can have one, I want two. If I want two, four.
Right.
That's enough. So I would really like you to read the book by, edited by Thorstater, written by originally in the spiritual diary by Marcus Aurelius.
Yeah, I think, no, you, I've heard you speak of it before. I will definitely take a serious look. I can see it's a lot of the scripting that this is rewiring. Family scripting.
If you're scripted, if your family, culture, religion has scripted you to be hedonistic, you're going to go towards binging in everything, including cleaning, including religion. You see, everything becomes a binge.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of that, but it's a little bit of, as you once said to me, your parents said, if you do it your way, you won't survive. So it's partly being responsible for being stoic and deciding what matters to me and knowing that it's okay to make those choices.
That's exactly right. When I do something that is not right for me to do, I say, if you feel comfortable doing what you're doing, do it. It's a personal decision. When I do something hedonistically, I must make an amends. I have to undo it, because I don't like the loss of satisfaction. I want to feel satisfied daily.
Yeah, that's revolutionary.
Well,
yeah. Okay.
It's what Carl Jung helped Bill Wilson create, the 12-step program, which has been one of the biggest Stoic training programs for people that were hedonistically binging on everything. You see? So everybody has to decide how much hedonism and how much stoicism is right for you. If you're comfortable doing what you're doing, then it fits you. If you're not comfortable, then you need to adjust your program. If you're working too much, you may have to set up play. There are people that are hideously hedonistic when it comes to making money. And they will ruin families, relationships, and think they're doing a great job because they're making money to give to the people they love. Well, the people they love very often want to have dinner with them or go to the show. And they're busy making money instead of love.
Got it.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. We've got to move on. We've got more callers waiting. Thank you, callers, so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Alex Livingston.
Yeah. About balance.
Hello.
Hey, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. I have a question about 8 weeks. Is the 8 weeks start from the time that you last reached out or he responded to you?
Wait, I'm having difficulty, Kelly, hearing what's
okay.
going on.
Okay. She's asking, when does the 8 weeks start? Caller, can you say that again? We're having a little trouble hearing you.
Sure. Does the 8 weeks start from the last time that you reached out or the last time he responded or reached out?
The last time he reached out. Do you hear that, Dr. Allen?
Are we asking about the 8 weeks? When does the 8 weeks start? Okay. The 8 week phenomenon is something I picked up early on when in my training from Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz. And it said something like, if you dwell on something 8 weeks, that's rumination, you're going to make a decision, hopefully, based on that rumination, think, feel. So if you've been dumped by somebody, that dumping started at the last contact, whether it's physical, verbal, whatever it is, and you will wait. If you want that person to miss you, you will wait until 8 weeks of rumination have perhaps changed their mind and heart to reach out to you. And it happens so often that I usually talk about it because I've experienced it in my work. And if you dump somebody, they are better off if they don't reach out to you unless they write you a hi-bye letter about how it feels to be dumped, and you receive it at the end of 8 weeks. Think of 8 weeks as rumination. You're thinking and you're feeling and you're thinking and you're feeling. You may even be voting. See, if he called, I'd want him back, or no, I wouldn't, or whatever. You see? So
right.
I 8 weeks for when relationships come apart. Either you accidentally or mistakenly dump them. And then oftentimes people chase people that have dumped them, which usually does not work because that enhances the dumper's power to keep dumping you in order to torture you into chasing them. So
right.
I suggest you wait 8 weeks and perhaps give them a hi-bye letter.
So does the countdown start when he last spoke to me or when I last reached out?
Give me the case. Who did the ending?
Well, he was saying that he didn't think I was interested in him, so he got me to reverse and reach out to him more than he was reaching out to me. And I lost interest.
How did he ask you to do that?
Just telling me that I wasn't interested in him and he didn't think that I still wanted to be involved.
He asked you to be the masculine, respectable partner. If you were comfortable with
him. Well, I tried it, and it made me lose interest in him.
I got it, because you want to be cherished.
Right. So,
now,
did you dump him? Not officially. I reached out and then I waited. I did a ritual stroke. He responded, but I was traveling and couldn't respond. So it took me a while to respond. And then I reached out again 2 weeks later and he didn't respond. So it's been 8 weeks for him, but 6 weeks for me.
Okay. Well, I'm talking to you. So are you going to reach out to him or are you going to wait until he comes after you?
Well,
I remember you saying that after 8 weeks, it starts a whole new relationship again. You're not picking up where you left off.
If you don't hear from somebody for 8 weeks, unless it's 8 weeks in one day, I'm talking about if you don't hear from them, mm-hmm. you don't decide that they're gone until they're gone 8 weeks.
Okay. But then it would start a different type of relationship, right?
What?
You said before that it would start a whole new relationship that wouldn't continue from where it left off.
People, if you're dumped by somebody and they reach out to you before the 8 weeks are done, they missed you so much that they had to undo the damage they've done. You see, okay. If you made a mistake in dumping him, you have to call him and or write him about the fact you made a mistake.
Okay. I don't want the relationship to be the way it was before, though.
You don't what?
She doesn't
want to
continue.
Go
ahead. She doesn't want the relationship to be the way it is. If he comes back before the 8 weeks, what should she do to make the relationship different?
Nothing, because he's back before he left. He's not gone until he's gone 8 weeks.
And if he's gone 8 weeks and he comes back afterwards, can she negotiate the relationship to be different?
Yes, because if he stays away for 8 weeks, he's been out there dating, exploring, and he finds that the missing link you were, he wants back. So when he reaches back, you have to negotiate boundaries. Because whatever splits you up has to be fixed.
Right. Okay.
All I'm saying is, I found a physiological phenomenon called rumination, which has been so predictably around 8 weeks, now maybe, 7 weeks and 3 days, but it's been so close to 8 weeks that I have built a communication program, which is if he's gone, don't reach out to him, but you may want to write a hi-bye interview letter that he gets after the 8 weeks in case he thinks you hate him and you want him to know you don't hate him.
Okay.
Okay? But you have to wait the 8 weeks.
Go ahead,
Go ahead.
Okay.
In the interim, when you're duty dating and the number one comes back, what do you tell the number two?
You tell them number one has come back.
So and do you disclose? Okay, go ahead.
Pardon?
So do you tell the number two or the number three that you're still...
Well, if you've been dumped by somebody and you started dating somebody else and number one comes back, you have to decide if they're worth taking back or you want to go on with number two.
Okay. And if you decide to go back to number one, what do you tell number two?
You tell number two, if you're going back, you tell them, I've got something to say to you that may be painful. Is it convenient now for you to hear it? Yeah. You know, so-and-so has been gone. He went back with his ex-wife, and it's 6 months. But I am not done with him. So I want to let you know that I am not going to be dating you. I'm going to be dating him because I want to finish this relationship or start it new. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, yes. Thank you.
Awesome. We're out of time, Dr. Allen. What do you have to say before we go?
Well, what I have to say is the only way out of a negative feeling is a positive decision. What is it I want that I don't have? What is it I have that I don't want? And do what you've got to do to get it.
Awesome. We love you, everybody. We'll be back next week. Tune in and call in. And in the meantime, www.drpatallen.com. Dr. Allen's available for speaking engagements, small groups, and of course, always phone appointments. We love you. We'll be back. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.